Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Steve Rivera, and welcome to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 KVOI. It's Monday already. Didn't we just see each other on Friday there, Senor Bob?
See, you were here when the Wildcats had a better record when we saw each other on Friday.
Yeah. A better record, a better attitude, and a better lot of things. We'll get to that in a moment. I think we're going to spend 2 hours talking about it. Maybe not 2 hours, but, you know, a lot of the time here. Let me kind of just start by saying we're going to have Corey Williams here about 1:17 talking about the game, see what he thought from it. He did not attend the game, but he watched it. He's been busy with other games as he starts his season behind the mic around the country. And then at the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to have one of my favorite guys, Bennett Davison, former UA player on the national championship team, which now means we'll have had 3 former players from that team. Mike Bibby was on last week, I think. And then we had A.J. Bramlett. And then we're going to have Bennett Davison. Maybe I get Jason Terry as soon as I can before the holiday. If I can pull that off, I'll try to do that.
You got all the big guys.
Well, yeah. Just tracking them down in this hour that we're in, these 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a finite window during the day, so a lot of people are busy doing their thing during the day. But that's not a big obstacle. It's just making calls and say, do you have a few minutes to talk to me about this and that?
Sure.
Some say yes. Some say no because they could be busy.
Really?
Yeah.
So I'm on a list of everyone that said no so we can track them down.
Wow, there haven't been many.
Yeah.
They say no, and then they get back to me, and then they come on the show.
Aww.
It's all good. It's all good. Not so much with the Arizona men's basketball team. After Saturday night's late night in front of a few people in McHale and an ESPN audience where they stunk it up.
Usually I'm not happy I fell asleep, but this time I'm happy that I...
At what point?
About 8:45.
So you didn't even get the start of it. They didn't either. They fell asleep they were there for about 9:30.
See? We have something in common.
They fell asleep about 9:30. They didn't wake up until about 11 o'clock, and they probably didn't listen to Sean tell them, you guys are playing like poop.
I did see a little bit of the coach on TV, and he looked no different than any other time.
Yeah, no. He was very composed in a upset way, you know.
Well,
you know, I don't know. We don't need to see that. We don't need to show the press conference or to listen to the press conference again. Everyone knows what he said, and he was disappointed. Obviously, did not tell the team much after the game, in and out of the locker room. Sometimes the best way to tell kids to behave is by just giving them a look.
Yes,
that was my thing. Didn't you? Just kind of look.
Especially if you look over the glasses, like the librarian used to when you got too loud. Just like, uh-oh.
I didn't have glasses, so I didn't do that. I just kind of said, "Come on, guys, come on." But you know what? They are who they are. We knew what they were and are now as the season progresses. We knew going in that they didn't have a whole heck of a lot of talent. They'd have to play out of their minds throughout the whole year to be good. Right now, they're playing mediocre, and that's going to be the case all year. I mean, when you play teams that are not good, the Irvines or the Cal Davises and the UTEPs and those teams, they don't help. They don't help you show flaws in your game. Things like that. Sean kind of alluded to it that maybe 10 days ago, last week, defending the schedule and who his team has played. They're proud of it. He said, okay, that's cool. But at the end of the day, you need to play teams to see how good you really are. Baylor, we didn't think was that good. Well, they played very well against Arizona. And let me tell you this about my philosophy in sports. This is what it's been for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
A long time. It's every game is a season. I think you've heard me say that a number of times.
Yep.
Those who read me know that because every game, like today's show, I could knock it out of the park today. Guess what? It means nothing for tomorrow.
That's right.
I have another game tomorrow that I have to do well to knock it out of the park. There are days when I've had good shows. There are days when I've had bad shows. It's how you play that day.
Mm-hmm.
And Arizona played horribly on Saturday. And it's funny how people and some of the fans who listen and they watch, he says, well, at least they got that game out of the way. That means nothing.
That's like, you know, you're in a horrible traffic accident, you know, and you have like 12 broken bones and you go, well, at least your hand isn't broken.
Right,
or, you know.
But it happens all the time. I see it all the time during the year, especially when Arizona was really, really good and had to, well, they got that loss out of the way, they'll learn from it. Well, they've been playing all their lives. If they haven't learned from it by now, it's still going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Because it happens. You miss shots. You throw the ball away. You say stupid things, do stupid things. It's going to happen. It's what you do.
Yeah.
You know, luckily I haven't said stupid things yet on this show. Where's that little 7-second thing there?
It's right there.
Okay.
Standing.
Okay. Just in case I said get all riled up and you say, yeah, you, whatever.
I got two bigwigs in the room, so now would be a good time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I'll mind my P's and Q's.
Yeah.
No, I've been good, which is surprising to me. But I'm sure that Arizona is going to work hard on what they need to work on. They play Wednesday. Good luck with that. They play Montana. I don't know how good Montana is right now, but historically they've been okay. They've been pretty good. The good thing for Arizona, they play at home. The bad thing is at home, there's not that same crowd that has seen them in the past.
Yeah.
We've talked about this ad nauseum almost,
yeah,
because we're, 9-10 games into the season, and it's a poor crowd.
And the good thing about Wednesday's game against Montana, it's the Eastern Montana women's team. So, you know, they got that going for them,
yikes,
that the U of A might just win.
Yikes. Next. You might need the 7-second button. Where do I push that for you?
Unfortunately, there's a dump profanity, but not a dump stupidity button.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. And they would put that on your side, and you just push it in at 1 o'clock and take it out at 3, and then it would keep me right out of the conversation.
This is a caveat on the ushers. Bob knows little about sports, but he's my sidekick, and I love him. Okay,
yeah.
So that's cool.
And thank you again for chasing down Mike Fader on Friday and getting my lovely gift. I think it said I have to present it at the merchandise store. They have a store over,
yeah,
at the arena they're going to have there?
Oh, they have the room. They have a room full of stuff.
Fantastic.
So you just go down there and exchange what I gave you for whatever you want.
Yeah, that was like getting a letter from the president, because that was not like a form. That was like a super duper. I might even frame
that. You can frame that. Yeah, yeah. Get your whatever you're going to get signed. Sign it in when you wear it or whatever you're going to do. Then you can just put it up on your mantle.
I get comments on it all the time. Wherever I go, people are like,
your new hat?
Yeah, on the hat. So I'm thinking anything I get, a T-shirt or anything, I had somebody say, oh, wow, I didn't even know there was a football team in Tucson.
Really?
I would have gone to their games. And I said, well, you know, don't feel bad for not going to their games, because they haven't even had any. And then he looked like, oh, that's so sad. I said, no, the season hasn't started.
What did you run into these people, and where do they live? What rock?
A rock over near Duffy Elementary School, or what used to be.
Oh.
I don't know. Not everybody.
Didn't get the memo? They didn't get the memo? It's like, because we work for a tour. El Tour, what day is it? You mean there's going to be cyclists? It's like Christmas. It always lands on December 25th. Really? It came upon me so quickly. Where you been? Come on, guys. Wake up.
Yeah. Isn't there like the New Year is sometime right after Christmas, isn't it? Yeah, about a week or so.
April 15th? What? Man, I didn't know that.
Back to the dump stupidity button.
Yes,
you wish you'd have one in life.
Yes, no question. Hey, and so we're going to talk a lot about this basketball team. In fact, let's go to a break now, and we'll probably get Corey Williams to call in, or we'll call Corey, and we'll get some history and talk about what this team needs to do.
Aren't you tired of listening to your lady complain about how her bra hurts? Here at the Bra Spa, we fit bras for a living. Buy your gal a gift card and we'll make all of her bra fit woes go away. You know that you're going to give her a gift card for Christmas, so get it now. You give me $100, I'll give you a gift card for $115. You give me $200 and I'll give you a gift card for $230. We'll get a comfy bra for her and a sexy bra for you. The Bra Spa on East Tankaverde Road.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/bestcreditunion. Certain restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA.
My husband thinks he's MacGyver. Give him a paperclip, duct tape, and chewing gum, and he can fix anything for about a day.
Honey, it's freezing in here. Please call Mission Heating and Cooling to fix our heater.
Look, I'm not spending money on that.
Well, Mission Heating and Cooling will do a free estimate, free diagnostic test, and not charge us for the trip.
Don't worry, honey. I've got this.
Listen to your wife. Call Mission Heating and Cooling today at 822-8499.
Yes, Mr. Willard.
Julie, I just got in. There's no coffee and there wasn't any soap in the restroom. And we're out of copy paper. What's up?
Sorry, we have so many vendors. It's just so hard to keep track of them all.
Well, can't we get our products from one supplier?
There is a solution. Gibson's Office Solutions. Hi, I'm Matt Ewing.
And I'm Josh Ewing.
Give us a call today at 622-6738.
Or visit us online at gibsonsaz.com. Gibson's, your number one source for all things office.
Kaya weighed just 1 pound, 1 ounce at birth and endured a grueling 163 days in the hospital. Thanks to research funded by the March of Dimes, Kaya survived premature birth, the number one killer of babies in the United States. The birth of a child is supposed to be a joyful event, yet each year about 380,000 babies like Kaya are born too soon, and many have serious health problems that can last a lifetime. But you can change that. Join 3 million friends, families, and colleagues in more than 500 communities across the nation in March for Babies. The money we raise is so important in fighting premature birth and other life-threatening challenges that newborns face. We're supporting research and programs that help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthier babies. Sign up, join a team, and start fundraising today at marchforbabies.org. Together, we can fight premature birth and help more babies be born healthy.
Reliable and timely financial information from Bloomberg Radio Network, 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk. Tucson's diversity is celebrated in Mark Bishop's Morning Affair from 10 a.m. to noon on KVOI AM 1030, trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on news.
If I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you a house. I would buy.
And I get my own radio show with Steve Rivera.
Yes, welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera.
Do you know
that's Bob Dio? Yes, I do know that. How did that sneak in? I like it.
Isn't
it?
Is it? It's in the Bob's Extra Music, Bob's Bumper folder.
Okay. How do I delete that thing?
You right click and then you hit delete, but then you wouldn't be able to hear other great songs like American Bandstand. That one's gone too.
As they say, where I grew
dump
up.
Stupidity.
Adios mio. Adios mio.
Oh, that's mijo, his friend?
Yes.
Ex-friend.
Me and me. Mio.
Oh, all right.
Oh, God of mine. Good Roger. Afternoon, Bob. You must have had a lot of coffee this morning.
Totally screwing up your show.
where did you come from?
Yeah, I usually stop at about 4 cups.
Either you...
You start shaking.
Oh, are you? Help me.
I'm okay. They got me on this heart monitor, and I told Christopher I had to report an incident earlier because I was sitting here feeling very nauseous and lightheaded. So now that I'm not feeling that, I'm happy and taking it out on you. So.
Oh, okay. I'm sure that's how Sean felt on Saturday night because it was not pretty. One of the worst games I had seen down there in a long time. In fact, I kind of compared it to Arizona losing to Washington State in about, I think, 13, 14 years ago, 2005, when Washington State hadn't beaten Arizona in 38 consecutive games. and Arizona stunk it up and lost to Washington State. Although they were getting back on track with Coach Bennett, who's now at Virginia, and they had a couple of guys. They had a couple of very good guys. I even want to say Clay Thompson was there probably right after that because Clay played at Washington State. But Saturday night, holy moly, 9 o'clock start. There was about 11,000 people in the stadium. It was very boring, very sedate. And Arizona played horribly throughout the whole game. I was tweeting that it was just, you know, tough to watch. They were missing shots like crazy. Baylor was missing shots even worse. The problem with Arizona, it could not rebound.
Right, that's what I heard.
At the end of the day, they had 50 rebounds and Arizona had 19. And you said it couldn't get any worse than that. Well, an hour later, Arizona corrected the box score to change it to 51 rebounds and 19 rebounds for UA. So it did get worse. It did get worse. And the numbers don't lie because Arizona just couldn't do anything right. It was bad. They showed up. That's the best thing they did.
So as the game progressed, how did the coach respond to the bad playing? Did he put anybody else in?
Oh,
was
all the
he
time.
Crying
he,
or yelling?
No,
or?
No, he was yelling. He was yelling more than normal, and he was trying to get them going with different lineups. A couple of the guys had foul trouble. Chase Jeter did, and so did. Lee. Ira Lee had some issues with foul trouble, but that didn't cause any problems. Their zone, Baylor's zone, caused the problems.
So the question is, where does Arizona go from here?
Well, that's the question, and that was the head.
That was the name of your article. Yeah, I'm here watching the phone at just the normal software. I'm using something different today. That's why you got that gigantic. Caller name.
Oh, because Corey's saying he's calling, but no one's answering.
That's because I was busy doing stupidity with you. But have him call back. I'm staring at it. And
okay.
If not, then maybe the phone system is there. Is Corey?
There we go.
You talk. I'll answer Corey.
Okay. So I'm glad that I get Corey. One, because he has an insight to what really happens against the zone. What's up with the team? Although he's not connected to the team. And he played obviously for a while, and I've seen this type of things happen with teams and see what they need to do to recover from this, because once you see cracks in the wall, that's when the problems start to happen. Corey, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Corey, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
Absolutely.
So did you watch the whole game?
As hard as it was, I did watch the majority.
Yes. Welcome to our misery.
Yeah.
What struck you the most?
Well, I think what struck me the most was, you know, Baylor is a big team. They're physical. They got great athletic players, and they're bothersome. When you play teams that are physical and athletic, and they can push and shove, and you can't really get around them or past them, so you have to play, you know, great basketball to get open looks. What my impression was, I saw an Arizona team that couldn't get clean looks. They were frustrated by their size. I don't think Arizona had really played a physical team like that. And in the sense of you're not going to back them down. You're not just going to blow by them and get layups. So you got to think the game. You got to use each other to get good looks. And they had some problems. They had some problems with that 3-2 zone. That zone negated, you know, Jeter on the block. It negated Randolph's creativity, his one-on-one ability. It just took away their two strengths so far early on in the season.
Yeah, and playing good teams matter. I've always said this. Back in the day when you played for Lute, there's no team that you guys were afraid of. You Georgetowns, the Arkansas, those type of teams, those got you ready for what was ahead. I don't think that Arizona's schedule to this point did not get them ready for Baylor, that's for sure.
No, it didn't. And, you know, schedule building is so important in college basketball. Coaches sometimes don't know who's coming back. They got to make schedules a year
right,
out.
Right.
They have no idea what they're going to have and what they're going to go. You know, they make agreements to go to tournaments, and some teams show poorly and some teams find out some things about themselves. But the difference, I would say, from obviously Arizona, and I can't believe it's been over 20 years, but over 20 years ago,
yeah,
was our learning took place in practice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Our scrimmages were so competitive that by the time we were juniors and seniors, you know, we had some stripes. We'd been through a lot. We didn't learn on the job. You learned in practice. And all of the Power Five coaches this era, this time, they have to let the kids learn on the job. So you may tune into a game, and it may be a complete disaster. I mean, and the coaches will tell you, like, we're playing freshmen and sophomores, and you're going to see some of these. Well, this Arizona team isn't exactly that young, but they do, as far as their depth, I don't know how competitive practice can be as opposed to a real game. Like I said, I'm playing in a completely different era, but we had 10 All-Americans
yeah.
on a team.
Mm-hmm.
So practice was extremely competitive. 9 times out of 10, our scrimmages were more competitive than some of the games we played.
Yeah.
So we never really got the chance. And, of course, with Luke, you make too many mistakes. He yanks you and puts in somebody else. I just think that these kids are learning on the job. I think it's painful for a lot of fans to watch because they're not used to seeing a team figure things out and only have 20, 23 points at halftime.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to get better, but this is definitely a first for a lot of Arizona fans.
It didn't happen too often with you guys in the mid-90s. Maybe a time or two, I do recall, going to the Bay Area in your senior year, where there was agendas already starting to form in the senior year stuff, and there was some cracks. But you guys recovered from that and played well beyond that. When you start getting trouble on the team, and not that there is trouble on this team, but, you know, they didn't play well, now what's going to happen? How do you recover from stuff like that?
Well, the thing that always brought us together, I remember our freshman year team, there were so many individual agendas, and I remember talking it over with Damon. We got beat in the first round because guys just weren't dialed in. We
yeah.
had one of the most talented teams in the country. Our sophomore year, we all had chips on our shoulder. Our junior year, things were a little fragmented, but the one thing that unified us was we had a genuine dislike for every team in the Pac-10. We felt like we know that you're coming for us, but that's okay. And when you accepted or signed a letter of intent to attend Arizona, you felt like, I have to show you why I'm better than you. It doesn't matter if I'm coming off the bench, if I'm getting in at the end. I'm an Arizona ball player and you're not. And there's so much that goes along with that. Just psychologically, yeah, their guys are fighting for minutes. I didn't approve of every shot my teammates took.
Right.
There were times where I was open. But at the end of the day, we unified under the brand. Like, we're going to kick your ass because we'll settle this stuff later during practice or in the locker room. But when we stepped out on the court, the individual agendas, and Coach O, he was not going to allow someone to play for themselves.
Right.
You know, we had guys, everybody on our team had dreams of going to the NBA. That's an impossible thing to manage, especially when you look at what the current day coaches have to deal with. When all your players are focused on going to the NBA, and we had guys who realistically all had shots to go to the NBA. And I talked to coaches where they have zero NBA prospects, yet all their players think they're going to the NBA.
Right. That's
so it's impossible to coach. So when you talk about cracks, it's the coach that has to come in and kind of be the glue and get these guys' minds focused, because you can't have agendas and you're going to have personality clashes, and that's okay. I didn't care for Reggie Gary. It's no secret. Me and Reggie didn't like each other. Reggie didn't like Miles. Miles and Mike Dickerson really didn't vibe, but it didn't matter when the game started. So it's like, you know, I hope I'm not putting these guys out there, but not everybody got along in Arizona, but Coach was such a huge figure that he didn't allow any of that to get on the court.
I wrote it all down. It'll be in my next book.
and they'll all lie about it. They'll all lie. Oh, no, we were all great friends. But, no, it was a very competitive atmosphere. And I think, you know, nowadays everybody's breaking down games and the blame game, whether it's social media.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And as soon as the game is over, guys can go online and read who people are blaming, who's pointing fingers, even they can buy into that. Every guy has his own entourage of followers that's in his ear telling him it's not his fault. He should transfer. He should shoot more. This guy's terrible. This guy's good. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Right, right. No, you know what? I think last year was the major case for that, and Sean had a hard time controlling it. He admitted that he didn't have their guy's ear. Eventually, he kind of stepped that back a little later on in the year. But you could tell that they all had agendas, and so three of them are in the NBA now. But that's for a different day. This group, like you said, not a whole lot of them have NBA aspirations or are capable of playing in the NBA. Now they have to come together and play as a unit. Now that's the question.
Yeah, that's the question. I think they can play as a unit. I think Arizona's been one of those teams that in the past has always had a dominant NBA prospect on the floor for the majority of the game. And this is the first season where we just quite simply don't have that. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but I'm talking about a next level guy who can go get you 16 points whenever he wants. You know, that guy is not on the team right now. And I think these guys have to come together and play for the wins. And honestly, the funny thing about it, after a loss like that, naysayers always help struggling teams. Because when the naysayers start talking about the team, it forces you to play together, and you have a goal or an objective to overcome the critics. And after a home loss to Baylor, okay, maybe they're getting some side-eye looks on campus. Maybe they're reading some unflattering things online. That can intensify a team. So sometimes those agendas take a back seat to the pressure from everyone else. Because when everybody else says they're disappointed in you, those guys have nothing to do but to show up in practice and try to get a win to prove everyone else wrong.
No, I totally agree with you, and that's a great point. Now they just have to do it, and you're right. I mean, when you're not as talented as you think you are, maybe you're not as they think you are. This team, I don't think that it's way over talented, but they have some parts that can play together. And we all know that the Pac-12 is not a good league. What's your sense of the league and where they could fit in?
Arizona can definitely finish in the top four or five. They can definitely compete against a Washington. They can compete against an Arizona State. Those two are my out favorites to win the conference based on what I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
The Arizona team that played 34 minutes against Gonzaga, that's a team that can compete for the conference championship. The same way the Washington team that had Gonzaga on the ropes. Arizona State, very tough win on the road in Georgia. How many Pac-12 teams could have went out there and won at Georgia? Not a lot. So you look at the fact, in my opinion, in Arizona on a good day, in Washington on a good day, ASU is really strong. That's going to be the frustrating thing for Sean Miller. He has a team that will never get blown out. They're too good to get blown out. And when you have a team that won't ever get blown out, that means they're going to be in every game. All 18 games of the Pac-12 season, they will be in every game. And it's those little details that turn losses into wins.
No, so,
that's frustrating because you're like, guys, we're not that far behind. There's no clear-cut front runner. There's no lottery pick beast that's going to go 15-3 in the Pac-12 this year. It's not going to happen.
Right.
They're going to be in every game. So they have just as good a shot as any.
Right, right. And Sean Elliott and Corey Williams and Damon Stoudemire ain't coming through that door to help them.
Nobody's coming through the door. And honestly, if you look at, it's really going to be, and I said this before, this year in the Pac-12, upperclassmen and coaching will have more of an impact than ever before. There is no team that can just throw their shoes out there and get a win. Everybody will have to depend on experience, and great coaching will be the difference maker this year.
Right.
There's not dominant players who are just going to show up and put in work. Every game will be close. I think there will be a top half and a bottom half to the league, as there always is. But those four or five teams at the top of the league, it's going to be a dogfight.
Right. More so now because you've been doing what you're doing with the ESPN and doing your analyst stuff. Has this enlightened you to teams like this or gotten you more insight on, you can get a sense of who's good and who's not in terms of emotional or mentally?
Yeah, I mean, what I get when I first got in the business, I'd get the game notes and I'd read through them and I'd see what other people had to say. And I'd kind of step into my analysis based on what everyone had to say and kind of what I saw when I watched game tape. And now when I go to shoot, it's all about feel. I look at the kid. Mm-hmm. I talk to the coach. I look at a kid, and I don't mean they're all the same, but it doesn't take me much to figure out this kid is a junkyard dog. He's tough. He can play. This kid's physical. This kid is a street shooter. This kid's confidence is 1,000 right now. I come out of shoot around with a sense of how that team feels. I was telling my buddy, I said, I don't think Gonzaga's going to beat Washington. And they laughed at me.
Yeah, yeah. I was one of those guys. I saw that. I saw
Washington,
that.
I said, I know how Norvell, I know Crisp, I know Matisse, I know their team. These guys are not going to get embarrassed to the cross-state rival in a game where they're ranked and they're not. I said, it's not going to happen. And Hopkins is too good of a coach, and I had a feel. See, and that's the thing about being an analyst, and I understand a lot of guys, they read things, and they like to prognosticate and say who's going to win.
Yeah.
I just tell you what I see, and I try to get close enough to the kids and the programs so I can get a vibe from them, because honestly, that toughness, Arizona's going to win some games because the kids decide to just be tougher than the guys they're playing against.
Right, so a good loss, maybe.
It could be a good loss. I think you have to – it's a bad loss in the fact that you got 9 home games, and you got to win them all.
Yeah.
You win them all and go 500 on the road, you got a shot at winning the title. You cannot take a loss in the Kale Center. It's just something that happens so rarely. When conference play rolls around, nobody comes in here and gets a win. And when you go on the road, you try to make it happen. When you don't feel invincible in the Kale Center, then you've got problems. You have to feel invincible.
Yeah.
And that starts with beating Baylor. But, there's going to be some great stuff that Sean can focus on. Coaches do their best coaching after a loss, because then the kids are listening.
Yeah.
You know, they don't listen after wins. So hopefully, you know, they're looking at film and they're making some adjustments.
Right, right. Corey, loved having you on. I always love talking to you, listening to you, and what you have to say. Thanks a bunch. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. All right. Yes, sir.
We'll go to break now and come back on the other side. You're listening to KVOI, 1030 AM.
Tired of listening to your lady complain about how her bra hurts? Here at the Bra Spa, we fit bras for a living. Buy your gal a gift card and we'll make all of her bra fit woes go away. You know that you're going to give her a gift card for Christmas, so get it now. You give me $100, I'll give you a gift card for $115. You give me $200 and I'll give you a gift card for $230. We'll get a comfy bra for her and a sexy bra for you. The Bra Spa on East Tankaverde Road.
My heat and air were in a state of disrepair. My drains were clogged. I was really in despair. So I called some guy. You've never seen such a mess. And every time he leaned over, well, you can probably guess. Now I get it done right by Picture Rocks Cooling. They're neat and clean, peachy green. Really no fooling. Got a problem? Just call up and help is coming. Picture Rocks Cooling. Heating and plumbing.
Hi, I'm Lorena with La Hacienda Family Mexican Restaurant. Today, many people want healthy options. At La Hacienda, we have many delicious dishes to choose from, like our vegetarian fajitas, mixed vegetables, stir-fried in our special sauce with mushrooms and peppers, served on a sizzling plate. Or try the spinach enchiladas, or the healthy vegetarian burritos, or the green corn tamales. There is too much to list here. Make plans to join us today. La Hacienda Family Mexican Restaurant, 1st Avenue and Tangerine, or at lahaciendaaz.com.
My name is Bobby. I'm a veteran and lost my leg to a roadside bomb. My victory was going from a wheelchair to becoming a weightlifting champion.
I'm Sam. I'm a veteran. My victory was finding a career I can be proud of and supporting my family.
America's veterans are on their most important tour, the tour of their lives.
I'm a veteran. My victory was going from homeless to home.
At DAV, we're on a mission to help veterans get the benefits they've earned.
I'm a veteran, and my victory was finishing my education.
DAV offers veterans of all generations a lifetime of support for victories great and small.
My victory was proving that disability is not a limitation.
My victory was getting my service dog and new best friend.
We help more than 1 million veterans every year as they face and conquer their challenges.
My victory is being able to be there for my family.
When America's veterans win, we all win. Help us support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. John C. Scott features interviews with elected officials, candidates, reporters, consultants, and voters in what shapes up to be one of the most critical election years in our history.
The John C. Scott Show, weekday afternoons 3 to 5 on AM 1030 KBOI. Trusted local news and talk.
Reliable and timely financial information from Bloomberg Radio Network. 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk. Tucson's diversity is celebrated in Mark Bishop's Morning Affair from 10 a.m. to noon on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on politics.
Welcome back, everybody, to Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030 AM. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. That was a good conversation. You know why I like Corey? He tells it like it is.
And
he's not going to pull any punches. He didn't as a player and a student athlete. He surely doesn't do that now. I appreciate that because, you know, he's an alum. He's an alum, but he's also good at what he does in his job. So we get the straight facts, the world of facts are facts. And this team needs a lot of work. How they'll rebound from this mess is the first step on Wednesday. We'll see what happens. Good luck with that.
So I wrote down Corey Williams doesn't like, but what was the other observation he make? And it was no secret that Reggie didn't like somebody.
Miles. They went to the same high school. He's doing it when they competed against each other.
You knew
because you when you're on the court with each other. Uh-huh. You don't like you play hard against each other because you don't want. It's like when you play against friends, you want to kick their butt. You want to kick their butt because they're friends, but that's their friends outside of the arena of sports, and that's how these guys were. That's how they got better. In fact, I've talked about this a number of times, and I don't know if I had it in a book or not. But in '96, Corey was a senior. Joseph Blair, Ben Davis, Reggie Geary, Joe McClain. And I'm missing somebody. I think it was Ray O's. Played very well in their senior year. JB was not on the team by then. He'd been academically ineligible. But they played to the Sweet 16, lost to Kansas on the last second shot, had that game won. But what that did was that proved to the guys, the Michael Dickersons, the Miles Simons, and those guys, the Bibbies, those guys that were on the team at the time, that they could beat Kansas if they played really well. A year later, they played Kansas, and guess what happened? They played really well and won.
And I did say something about the U of A and Gonzaga, and you made a funny face when we first started this show, like you were going to dump stupidity, and yet Corey just mentioned...
Right.
See, so...
Yeah. Well, I use the button on only certain people. I'm biased to certain people, so I already have... When you're on, I got it ready to push.
And you were so sweet at dinner, too. That was very, very nice.
Because you were with your wife.
Is that why you were... you guys seem to be certainly engaged in sports talk or whatever you were talking about.
We were talking about you. It was very fun. hey, we got a call, and I do want to hear from people and get their thoughts on what happened over the weekend. Here, Pancho, are you there?
Yes. How are you?
Fine. Thanks for calling in. Hey, let me ask you, did you watch the game?
I did.
How were you feeling during the game?
Well, not as bad as I may have in the past, and certainly not as bad or frustrated as any Wildcat loss in any sport that disappoints me. But, you know, I think the sky is not falling. The sky has already fallen, so to speak, with this team.
I'm going to use that. Yes.
And like Bob said as well earlier, he mentioned that he's walking around and people don't understand there's a football team in town. And similarly to the Wildcats, although it's hard to find them in Tucson, there's people that don't care.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a lot of people that do care. I look at your Facebook post and when you post your article and then people respond and some of the things that they have to say, are ridiculous, obviously. No, I'm not excluding myself as never having said something hypercritical very quickly about any Arizona team in any sport, but at the same time, you know, if you call yourself a fan, there has to be something that, you know, you prevent yourself from saying about your team, so to speak. And right now, 11,000 fans, what is that, 300 or 3,055 empty seats or whatever it is, wait till Wednesday.
Oh, I agree. I totally agree with you.
And that speaks as well very loudly. But, you know, having been a longtime Wildcat fan, I have to try to bite my tongue and take a realistic approach to what's going on. And with this season, I think you have to have context and keep it in perspective that, again, I talked about this before, this is a rebuilding year. There's no question. And Corey, who did a great job, by the way, mentions that they don't have the NBA talent on the team this year. So to expect them to go out there and compete against a bunch of bigger, rougher, older, potentially guys is an unrealistic expectation. And I think we should be prepared to see more of this year. But still, just be as supportive as possible. And if you have tickets, give them away to somebody who wants to go to McHale, because that's a fun place to be and get back into it. But I think also the Christmas break, it's been like this. You know, the students aren't there as much. So anyhow, you know, the fans say really silly things. And something I learned over the course of my lifetime as an athlete and a coach, and then ultimately I was a high school / junior college basketball referee here in San Diego. And one of the things I learned about how to avoid coaches who have the tendency to scream and yell about calls is I finally realized that it's a verbalization of the emotion that you're feeling. And there's nothing that stops the comment from happening. And I know we all can relate to that in our lives, in our relationships. You get frustrated about something and you verbalize what you feel in that moment. And that's what these Wildcat fans are doing when they're posting stuff. It's just a verbalization of an emotional thing. Now, why do they feel so strongly? What is at stake for them? Are they participating vicariously? What's their level of knowledge about the sport itself, you know? And are they just disappointed because the team that they were rooting for lost, and then they feel like some loss of identity occurred? So as the master psychologist that you and I both are, Stephen, I think we can appreciate that. But boy, it's tough to wade through that during times like this. Go back to the ASU-U of A football game. How emotional was that, and what type of verbalization occurred directed at Kevin Sumlin? Like, how do you not go out and win the game? Why are you trying to not lose the game, so to speak? So, I mean, I think we experience it here in Tucson, me having been there, so much frustration. But then at the same time, what are there, 23 national championships at that university? There's a lot to just take a deep breath. And, you know, thank God it's women's basketball season as well right now with the nation's second leading scorer. I mean, there's always something good there. So that's pretty much all I have to say about the fans. I do have a second point about basketball specifically, but is there something else you wanted maybe to add that?
Well, I'll get your second point in a second, but if you've been reading my Facebook page, what was the key thing that you took away from with the fans ripping into the team?
Well, it's when I read things about coaching, I get really frustrated. Some guy wrote also, and it's not a bad criticism, but, you know, Luther would be, I'm looking at your Facebook page right now, Luther would be bringing out the folding chairs during
timeouts. Oh, I saw that one.
Jeter would be a Gumby waving a towel on the sidelines, you know. And, you know, the guy's a little hyperbolic here, but he says, has Barcelo even made a basket this year? And, you know, it's embarrassing and blah, 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 blah.
Let me say this to their credit, to the writer's credit. These guys definitely, maybe not Jeter because he's played very well up until this point, need to step up. And Corey made a great point. You have your starting five. It is what it is. And then you go against your second five. The second five for this team is not great. Is not
no.
good.
No, they're not good at all. And even the first five has some glaring
right.
weaknesses.
Agreed.
And then in a situation like this, we all knew that we were going to have trouble on the glass all season.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been to many Wildcat games. I was fortunate to be able to sit midcourt second row just a few years ago, and my brother and I are ridiculously out of control Wildcat fans, so we got there as soon as the arena opened, and we watched the entire shoot around, and we watched the bigs do their thing, and I'm sure you've seen it. I'm sure you've been there. They all do the same thing. They go to all sides of the basket. They go through all kinds of things. And then when you watch Arizona play and you watch the way their bigs play, there's certain things that you see almost every game, almost every season. One in particular that I've observed is that the five is at the top of the key often with the ball, and they run an offense from that. Ristich ultimately started to take that shot. Ayton ultimately started to take that shot. Caleb never took it. Do you know how many? Do you know what Jeter's 3-point statistics are this season so far?
I do not. I don't think he's taking a shot.
He is 0 for 0.
Yeah, I'm right.
And how many times have you seen him stand there with that basketball at the top of the key and not even look at the basketball? He's looking for a cutter,
right,
or he's looking for something else to happen. Now, that becomes an obsolete offensive system for this year's team. There is no threat for him to shoot that ball. There is no need to defend him, and nobody's defending him. So they're cutting off that passing lane. They're not allowing the cutter to get to the basket because they know that's what Arizona's looking for at that time. Baylor's zone defense, although Corey called it a 3-2, there were times it looked like a 4-1. And they had like four linebackers across the goal line trying to stop the outside shooting, so to speak, and only one player in the post because they knew there was only one offensive threat. So you don't need to have two players in the post to defend Arizona anymore. So Miller's system, so to speak, and what he's always worked with his bigs is completely figured out by every team that they're going to play against from this point forward, and they realize that that's ineffective. So he's going to have to adjust. I do think a lot of people over the years have said that about Sean Miller. He does not make adjustments. He's going to coach his team his way. He's going to use his system, and it's either going to work, which it has, hence all of the Elite Eights and horrible losses in regional finals by somebody who either misses a three-pointer or makes seven in a row like Wisconsin did, and he's close. But this year's team, the traditional system that he's used with a strong and deep number five position, he's going to have a hard time winning with that system. He's got to change something.
Right. Well, we'll have a few more games to see what he will do. I agree with you. It's not likely that he will do anything because he is who he is. Hey, Pancho, thanks for the call. We got to go to a break. We're kind of up against it already late into the calls. But, hey, good hearing from you. Thanks for reading me, too.
It's always a pleasure. All right.
Thank you, Pancho.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to break, Bob. I know we're running late with our ads and all that and all our sponsors. Appreciate them all. Let's go to break here on KVOI 1030 AM.
Lexus of Tucson announces the newest arrival to its crossover family, the UX Urban Explorer. With a starting MSRP of just $32,000, the UX offers numerous active safety features and Apple CarPlay as standard features. The UX has the best turning radius, highest MPG, and lowest cabin noise of any crossover in its class. Get details and see it now at Lexus of Tucson. Experience amazing. Speedway in Columbus and at the Auto Mall.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/bestcreditunion. Certain restrictions apply, insured by NCUA.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Tuesday for the economic forecast for 2019 from UA economic forecaster Dr. George Hammond. Also Shelley Fishman with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Buckmaster during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk anywhere in the world live listening, buckmastershow.com.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on sports.
Welcome back. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030 AM. That was quick. It always goes by so fast when you're having fun, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, you get into some of these really good interviews with people like Pancho.
Pancho's a good caller. Yeah. Corey was good. Pancho's always good when he calls, and I'm glad he reads me. Sometimes we agree and don't agree, but I'm fine with that. I wish people would call and tell me that I'm full of it. I'm okay with that. Relatives excluded. Because I already assumed that.
Producers excluded. Gotcha. Producers, yes. I would never say that.
No, I have the button for you, remember? I have the button for you.
I'm going to have it installed. I will send you a picture when I have that re-engineered.
By the way, I've only done this. This is like 30-some shows or whatever, 35 going, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And Buckmaster was talking about some red light. Where's that red light?
It's right should be right there.
Okay, let me tell you.
So you lose 7 seconds of your show, so...
Okay.
Consider that.
Okay, so I'm colorblind. I didn't know if you know that.
I didn't know that.
I'm colorblind, so I don't see reds very well.
And so
I
have there's a bunch of brown lights there. See them?
I see those. You're pretty funny. And let's remember who's the funnier one. So let's not get carried away. So this basketball team has a lot to go through in the next couple of games before the Pac-12 starts. They'll have that chance, Montana, and then they have another game, I think, after that, before the Pac-12 starts. And the thing is, you are who you are, and they are who they are. They're a short team, a shortish team, with a bench that's not that productive and not that good, with a center that's playing halfway decent, and guards in Brandon Williams and Brandon Randolph who need to score more. The problem is, guess what's going to happen now? And we saw it a lot over the last few years.
What?
Teams are going to defend them like Baylor did with a zone. Extend the team out, like you said, on that 4-1 pack, kind of like, and push Arizona out so they have tougher shots, and it's not going to be pretty.
So hopefully, Jeter, somebody who's, has a decent hand on some threes can come through.
Jeter's not going to do that because, like you said, 0-for-0 to this point. He's not your 3-point shooter. You know, I'm not going to win the runway event. Models. I'm just not. I have to understand. We all have to know our time and space, all that stuff. They don't have that guy. The guy they're going to have to rely on is Brandon Randolph and Williams to hit shots from the perimeter.
Randolph's done it before. He seems to have more off games than on games.
Sure, and another guy that we haven't seen much lately offensively is Dylan Smith. He comes and goes, and he had a couple of threes late, but by then it was already too late.
So my guess is even if you could have created the preseason and beginning of the season for them to have much more competition, stiffer competition, a lot less of the southeastern Mississippi, girls' school.
Yes.
It still wouldn't matter right now. They are who they are.
However, you would have seen all this coming. You would have seen them against better teams having trouble. Like, I think it was Pancho or maybe Corey talked about them playing really well against Gonzaga for 35 minutes. The problem is that's a 40-minute game.
Right.
So you could play really well, really well, really well, and then tank it, and then you lose. But they did show promise. The problem with that is there's the 40-minute game, and you have to go to your bench at some point because they can't play 40 minutes all the time.
We can talk more next hour. I'm still hanging.
We're going to go light next hour with Bennett Davidson. He's going to make you laugh. A lot of funny stories behind the guy. Great guy, funny guy, kooky guy. What other words can I use? But we'll find out on the other side. We'll go to break here and see you at 2 o'clock.